This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts finally issued a major ruling today. It has an impact on both the November election and state revenues. The court ruled that a proposed ballot question to increase state income taxes on the state's highest earners, the so-called millionaire's tax, is unconstitutional. The ballot question would have raised taxes on those with personal earnings over $1 million by an additional 4%. That would have had an impact on some 19,000 millionaires in Massachusetts. For more on this decision from the SJC today, let's go to WBUR's Steve Brown. He's at the State House. Hi there, Steve.
Hi, Meghna.
So first of all, Attorney General Maura Healey actually had already certified this ballot question, and yet there was a case brought to challenge that certification. So why did it go to court?
Well, a number of businesses and taxpayers groups were afraid of what imposing that surtax would mean for businesses here in Massachusetts. They were afraid that business investment would go to other states and that executives who might be subject to the tax would move out of state, move someplace else. They claimed that the amendment tried to do too many things, both raise the tax and instruct the legislature on how to spend that money. So they challenged it, and today they won.
Okay, so the decision was a 5-2 decision, as I'm seeing here. What was the court's reasoning behind finding it unconstitutional?
Well, basically, the court said you can't roll different things into one constitutional amendment. Now, that amendment would have imposed a surtax on income over $1 million. That's one thing. Now, it also would have instructed the legislature to spend that revenue on transportation and education. So that's another thing. The opponents say you just can't do that. And five of the seven justices agreed.
OK. And the two dissenting justices then, I see they are Justices Gantz and Budd. Why did they dissent?
Well, they said that with today's ruling, the court fundamentally interferes with the ability of the people to exercise the constitutionally granted legislative power. So they dissented.
Okay. So what do you think this decision then? Well, actually, let me backtrack here and say that. So if this question had made it to the ballot, it would have been one of two regarding state revenues, right? Because there was the so-called millionaire's tax, and there is a question on the ballot regarding asking voters whether or not they want to cut the state sales tax. So, I mean, overall, what impact could this have on state revenues?
Well, it appears that that initiative seeking to roll back the sales tax from 6.25% to 5% is still headed for the ballot. That is, unless some sort of legislative grand bargain can be reached. And I'm told that they're trying to come up with some sort of a solution that would keep that sales tax question from going on the ballot. The rollback could take away $1 billion from the state budget. And that's something that many lawmakers say would be cataclysmic.
Okay, well, let's hear some reaction then from the state's top lawmakers. First of all, Governor Charlie Baker. He said today he generally doesn't support tax increases and that he believes the SJC's decision is the final say in the state on what should be allowed.
But I think it means that we have to move ahead, continue to invest in our Commonwealth, invest in our infrastructure, and invest in education as we have been on terms that are consistent with the current tools that are available to us, which are pretty good.
And here's the Speaker of the House, Democrat Robert DeLeo.
As we're preparing for next year's budget, we're going to have some discussion in terms of where we go next. I think the first question is going to be in December when we do estimated tax revenue, see where we are there. Once we find out where we are there relative to expected revenues, you know, then we see where we go.
Steve, you spent a lot of time on Beacon Hill. Decipher what the speaker just said to us there. What does he really mean?
Well, they're going to look at everything and then, you know, come next legislative session in January, we're going to know at that point, are they going to be $1 billion in the hole because a sales tax rollback was approved by voters? If they are, they're going to have to start from scratch and they're going to seriously have to start looking at all things on the table, and all things on the table include a potential for new taxes.
Mm. Well, that's WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meghna.
Well, we want to get some reaction directly from the parties involved in this case that appeared before the SJC. So let's first turn to Steve Crawford. He's a spokesperson for Raise Up Massachusetts. It's a coalition of labor unions, religious groups, community organizations, and some business organizations as well that were behind the so-called millionaires tax ballot question. Steve Crawford, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Magda.
What's your reaction today to the SJC's ruling?
Well, obviously, we're disappointed. I'm not going to quibble with the decision. The decision is what it is. It's I think looking forward is my biggest concern. There is so little clarity provided by the court in this. I don't know how this impacts future ballot questions. When Steve pointed out that there were, it was a 5-2 vote. It was actually the four members of the court appointed by Governor Baker. They had one opinion. There was a fifth justice that agreed with their decision, but agreed for different reasons. And then there was two justices that agreed with everybody else. The court really has a constitutional requirement to show us how we have a right to, how we can exercise our right to amend the Constitution as voters. And they failed at that, at that today.
Well, but didn't the court essentially say that, as Steve Brown was telling us, that those four or five justices found that the ballot question was trying to accomplish too much, that it put, as I see the ruling, it put voters in an untenable position on how to vote.
They argued that it was an attempt to dupe the voters. It's a very simple question. It's four sentences that says we're going to put a surtax on any income above $1 million, and we're going to pay for these two things. No one was deceived by this question. We're going to raise a tax to pay for transportation and education. They got to spend a lot of time trying to say that people were confused, but they're not.
And, well, maybe not confused, but that the court put forth these hypothetical voters, right, saying what if there was a voter out there who wanted to raise taxes in order to pay more for education, but perhaps not necessarily for transportation. How would they know how to vote?
Yeah, but to get to that conclusion, they make an argument that the word or means and. The Constitution says issues can be related, must be related or mutually dependent. They say, the court says, issues must be related and mutually dependent. Transportation and education, I can see why people think they're not related, but they are mutually dependent in our economy and within the question itself. Mm. It sounds like a lot of constitutional mumbo jumbo, but they took a long walk around creating a new constitutional law and didn't. And I think my real complaint is that they didn't provide any clarity. How do people, organizations like Raise Up Massachusetts or viewers, listeners at home who want to say, okay, I'm not happy with things on Beacon Hill. I want to change the law myself. I'm going to get a bunch of people together. We have the right to do that now, but our rights are jeopardized based on the decision today because it's an onerous process. It should be, and they don't create a clear path for people to do that.
With all due respect, it's a little hard for me to buy that because year after year, we have a number of ballot questions that make it in front of voters, and they're clear, and voters make their decisions. We've had some very contentious ones that there's a lot of disagreement over amongst various parties, but nevertheless, they make it to the ballot. So I feel like there's an argument to be made that there is clarity on how to get these questions in front of voters. It's just that the Supreme Judicial Court was saying in the case of this question, they didn't want you to conflate the increasing of the tax with policy directives. So what I want to get to is, will you try again and take out the policy directives and just say, this is a question about raising taxes on millionaires?
But I'll just go back to the original debate that gave us this law. There is nothing in that original debate or in the Constitution that says it has to be one thing. As a matter of fact, they rejected that argument when they gave us this right 100 years ago. We are likely to take some steps forward on this. Transportation and education are chronically underinvested in our state. I think everybody recognizes that, whether you have a child in K-12 or you're trying to pay off your student loans from UMass or you're trying to get to work on the Red Line like I do every day. We are chronically underinvested, despite what the governor might argue. And I will agree with the business community who have said this repeatedly. underinvest in education in Massachusetts is jeopardizing our economy. We need to do better with our schools. We need to do a better job of figuring out how people get to work and goods get to goods get to market. And it can't just be on the backs of riders and drivers.
Are you going to try again? I mean, it took multiple passes through the legislature, through the House and the Senate, because this is a constitutional amendment, essentially, that you're trying to pass for the state. Took several years to get to this point. Are you going to try again?
It came down at 10 o'clock this morning. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a coalition of over 100 grassroots groups. We're putting $15 an hour and paid family leave on the ballot. We're collecting signatures and delivering them to communities all across the state now. I can't tell you if we're going to do it again.
All right. So then one more question for you.
Yeah.
Five times in the past, there have been proposals to allow a graduated income tax in Massachusetts. And every single time, voters have voted it down. What makes you think it might be different if you get a question on the ballot next time?
This isn't a graduated income tax. It's very simple. We're putting a 4% surcharge on income over $1 million to pay for transportation and education.
Well, Steve Crawford is spokesperson for Raise Up Massachusetts. They're the coalition of labor unions, religious groups, community organizations, and some business organizations as well that were behind the attempt to put a so-called millionaire's tax question on the ballot this November. Steve Crawford, thank you so very much. All right, let's turn now to Christopher Anderson. He is the president of the Massachusetts High Tech Council. They led the opposition to this ballot question. And in fact, Christopher Anderson's name is named as the plaintiff in the case that the SJC ruled on today. Christopher Anderson, welcome to you.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Okay, so you won a legal victory with the SJC. What's your response to that? What's your reaction?
Well, look, we think the SJC reinforced the constitutional safeguards that the authors of the state constitution established 100 years ago, and they were designed specifically to prevent the kind of log rolling that the question the court struck down today included. And you've just spent some, and by the way, this is the first challenge to a citizens' initiative to amend the constitution since 1937. So this is a significant ruling. It's historic. It'll be around for centuries and will be reviewed, I'm sure, well in the future.
Mm. Now, let me just jump in here, because we could talk about the sort of legal specifications here around the SJC's ruling, and I guarantee you we'll do that in the future more, but I want to get to the heart of the matter here. If there were another attempt, again, I get it, this is hypothetical at this point, but if there were another attempt to put a question in front of voters about this 4% surtax on millionaires without the policy prescriptions in the question, would you support or oppose that?
I think we'd probably oppose it for this reason. And you've kind of already sort of shown Steve Crawford that there is a path forward here. The SJC has just clarified what you can't do. In 1992, there were two questions on the ballot. One was an amendment to the Constitution to allow a graduated income tax. We did not challenge that, and that was actually constitutionally in a permissible form for the voters to decide. The second was a statutory initiative petition with a slate of rates set by the proponents, both of which were rejected by voters at the time. So there is a path forward, but there's also a real concern over what the ramifications of states like Connecticut, New York, California, and Maryland have done, where they try to tax or raise the tax on a narrow band of high-wage earners. That public policy strategy has always backfired. And what we're trying to prevent is Massachusetts from becoming Connecticut in a New York minute. That's why we were opposed to the process that this question represented.
So let me ask you, I mean, you're with the Mass High Tech Council, but, you know, we've been speaking with other Massachusetts leaders, like with the Life Sciences Center, who say that, you know, they're telling us now that for really high wage earners in Massachusetts, in the life sciences, for example, that issues like transportation, Massachusetts transportation infrastructure, and whether or not their kids can get a great public education here are driving, those are the driving forces in deciding whether or not they're going to live in Massachusetts, not necessarily if they're going to get, you know, tax an extra 4% above $1 million. So if we can't support these structural issues in the state, what good does it do?
Well, there's nobody opposing the notion that we need to prudently continue to invest to train the workforce for the evolving economy that Massachusetts has created here.
And so where are those investment dollars going to come from then?
Well, I mean, let's take a look at the state's long-term fiscal stability. There are a number of states, like Kentucky, which you wouldn't consider a peer state, but they went through a 10-day teacher strike over the summer or in the spring. And the reason those teachers were out on strike was because their state budget was being crowded out. The resources available for education spending was being crowded out by an increasing percentage of mandated spending in health care, pension liability, and debt service. That's happening in Massachusetts today. So as we look forward, we say, look, we want to protect and continue to invest in education and road and bridge improvements. We have to be mindful that the state's long-term fiscal stability is at risk from overburdening itself with mandated areas of spending that leave little choice for the legislature but for to either cut spending in those areas or find very, very significant new tax sources like the one the court just struck down. Both of those courses of action would have damaging and negative effects to the state's economy.
Okay, but on the other hand, though, then what do we do? Because basically you're saying either we like cut mass health or we raise taxes, and you find both of them to be equally unacceptable?
Not really. I think both the governor and the House leadership have done a pretty good job this year at generating an economy that continues to expand. We have increased state tax revenue by about $1 billion a year in Massachusetts through economic growth. That's a fairly significant and robust additional set of new money each and every year. And because of decades of inattention on the transportation front, it's going to take a while to peel that onion back and get that fixed.
Right.
We're making progress, but we can't turn the spigot on a couple $1 billion in new tax revenue and expect there not to be a negative consequence.
Well, Christopher Anderson is president of the Massachusetts High Technology Council. Christopher Anderson, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll have more coverage of the SJC's decision on All Things Considered later today. We'll be back. I'm Meghan Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.